Carolinas are being swamped by these heavy rains and high winds from Hurricane Florence.
The best scientists in the world are all telling us that our activities are changing the climate.
I don't think it's a hoax. I think there's probably a difference, but I don't know that it's man-made.
Experts say that we have until 2030 to avoid catastrophe.
Polls show climate change very high on the list of issues for Democratic voters. And candidates for next year's presidential nomination are being told to put up or shut up. Joe Biden is taking heat from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for what she calls an unacceptable middle ground approach compared to her Green New Deal. She says you're either fighting for our future or you're not, and her support is much sought after by White House hopefuls. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee stands out by calling climate change his number one priority. When he announced in March, he did not have a strong legislative record to boast about, but within a month, he signed a package of five ambitious proposals. Now he is here to talk about his own record and his prospects for winning the nomination. Governor Jay Inslee, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for addressing the climate crisis. It's timely.
Is it an emergency?
Well, it's a crisis, and I think that's the right way to think about it, because the science is so disturbing, and it keeps breaking upon us like a tidal wave. Every time we turn around, there is a new data point coming in showing the acceleration of this problem, and we know that it affects the larger ecosystem. You saw the report from the international scientific community saying we're heading to perhaps losing a million species, and we are one of those species that ought to count. And so this is I believe it is a crisis. It demands a response to mobilize the United States to do what we've done before to defeat existential threats to our health and to our security and to our economy. And that means we need both science, because science counts, but leadership matters. And we need leadership that will call forth the energies and the innovative talents and the unified spirit of America. We are a can-do country. We need a can-do president. And we're moving the needle here in Washington, as you alluded to. We need to mobilize the United States around this. And it really has to be job one, because if it's not job one, it will not get done. This has to be a mobilization of the energies of the United States. So it can't be just something, you know, like you've got a to-do list on your refrigerator, like it's on your to-do list. This has to be the organizing principle of the next administration. And if I was given this high honor, that's how I would look at it. So the things we're doing in Washington, the things I've proposed, I believe are absolutely necessary, and over the long term will be economically productive as well. So I'm excited and getting good reception to this message.
When you say that it has to be the organizing principle of the administration, is that another way of saying, as you did to The Atlantic in January, that this would be your one priority?
Well, look, there's a lot of things that we have succeeded in Washington, the highest minimum wage, the best paid family leave, the first public option, the first long-term care bill I passed in the United States, the best gender pay equity. We've eliminated the death penalty. I'm issuing pardons to the people who have been caught in the drug wars as part of our effort to bring more racial justice to our criminal justice system. All of these things we want to give to the entire nation. But the fact is that we cannot do these things if we do not defeat climate change. The climate crisis is not a single issue. It is all the issues. It is the economy, where we're losing billions of dollars to pay for Paradise, California, burned to the ground. And now you've had a bankruptcy of a utility. It's the floods in the Midwest that I'll visit in a few days. They've already done over $1.5 billion of damage. It's a health issue. Look, this is fundamentally a health issue. You know, more people die from pollution coming out of our tailpipes than are killed by automobile crashes every year in the United States. We have Lyme disease now moving north. This is a health issue, and it is a national security issue, where we have already climate refugees around the globe, including in our hemisphere, and the Pentagon's hair is on fire about the national security risk that this poses. But it's also a huge economic opportunity for us. I was in California and doing a tour of the country, looking at all the jobs that are being created in wind turbines in Iowa, in batteries for electric cars in Nevada, in carbon for electric cars in Washington State, and biofuels. This is clean energy jobs today are growing twice as fast as the rest of the economy. But to make this happen, we have to have a president who will call forth the unified energies of the country to make this happen, and it has to be the priority. Look, I've been a governor. I'm the only sitting governor in this field here, and I understand to govern is to choose, and we have to choose this as a priority if we're going to get it done, and I'm the only candidate that's actually saying this from the day that I started my campaign.
Other candidates are talking about it as well. What is the difference between you and them? You have a record in Washington. You now have new legislation in Washington. But in Washington State, you've already got 60% of energy generated by hydropower. So you're well away along the way to reducing emissions there. The nation as a whole isn't that far along. So wouldn't there be just an extraordinary disruption of the economy and everybody's lifestyle if, in fact, we moved as quickly as you and others of your persuasion want to move?
Actually, we will have a growth of our economy just as we did in when we defeated fascism. You know, if people at the beginning of World War II said, well, we just can't reorient our economy, it's just impossible, we would not have done very well. Look what we did in 1940. We made exactly 77 Jeeps in the entire country in 1940. 4 years later, the United States had produced 640,000 Jeeps. And that type of industrial and reindustrialization is possible for us because we know we have done it before. And we are now seeing an explosive growth in new technologies in this regard. The cost of solar energy has come down 80% in the last 10 years. The cost of wind power has come down 20%. And as a result, we ought to have confidence in our ability to do this. Now, I think my candidacy is unique in this perspective for several reasons. Number one, I'm the only candidate who has said from day one that this has to be job one for the United States. Number two, I'm the only candidate who has really spent decades on this issue. I introduced legislation in 2003. I co-authored a book on this in 2007. I helped Jerry Brown establish the United States Climate Alliance in 2016. And now we have this some of the strongest bills on the climate crisis in the United States. We have the strongest 100% standard. We have the earliest phase out of coal, and I'm calling for a phase out of coal, and our bill is doing it in 2025. I'm the only candidate who said we have to end coal by 2030. We have the best building retrofit program and the only bill requiring a retrofit of our commercial buildings to save energy. So my uniqueness is both of my vision statement, which I put forward, which is both scientifically necessary and economically valid, my commitment, and most importantly, I've actually got things done. And, you know, people in Congress talk a lot. We've actually got things done. And I think that's important because we got to move this needle.
Okay, we have a president now, of course, who denies climate change, or at least has been denying it. He now says maybe it's not a hoax by the Chinese, but he's coming a little closer to recognizing its existence. But he has turned the government in a very different direction from the one in which you want it to go. How do you turn that around? He's got 45% of support from the rest of the nation at this point, not a majority, but a very high rate of support. And what you're talking about, once again, even though you can talk about it in very positive terms, is going to be hard to accomplish.
Well, our goal is to make sure that Donald Trump is a blip in history, and I feel very confident in my ability to do that, in part because I've already beat him 21 times in suing him to stop his Muslim bans and a whole host of issues. So we know how to beat Donald Trump.
Wait,
in Washington
elaborate
State.
On that. How did you beat him 41 times?
We sued him and won 21 times in a row. Mm-hmm. And so this is a man who isn't competent enough to do anything that he wants to set out to do. So he's tried to roll back off all of our environmental laws. We have largely stopped him. So the first order of business is to exercise the executive authority that our new president will have. And that means restoring a ban on oil and coal on our public lands. Restoring our efforts to clean up our utility industries and go a lot farther than that by a new executive order, by using the procurement power of the federal government to drive new technologies like I have done in my state, where we now are going to have 50% of the cars we buy by the state of Washington will be all electric next year. That's the first in the country. So we have enormous ability through the application of executive authority under existing law to really move the needle forward. And I know this because we're doing it in our state, and okay. we're capable of doing it in this nation.
Okay. Do you think that the president, you have had record in Congress as well as governor of Washington, so you've had some experience there. Do you think the president should be impeached?
I think it should definitely be on the table. I'm glad that the Congress, or at least one part of Congress, is pursuing a full investigation. I think it is necessary to get to the bottom of this, because we have a president who willfully welcomed at least Russian interference in our election, and very consciously has, in probably a dozen different ways, as the report indicated, tried at least to keep the truth from coming out. So I think it definitely needs to be on the table, and that this investigation needs to move forward. But we have to prepare to move in the, remove in the old-fashioned way, too, and I'm prepared to do that. I've already had a personal confrontation with him at the White House where he said that the solution to school shootings is arming teachers. And I went there and to his face told him that was ridiculous and he needed to quit tweeting and start listening to educators. And now we've got the NRA in the run in my state, and we need a president that will continue that effort. It's something I've been fighting for decades in public life. So I feel confident in our ability to do this. And I think that this climate crisis and job creation message is fundamental to that. And I am the candidate who's pursuing that. And you know, if you believe that, by the way, people will feel welcome. If they want to see climate crisis on the stage, they can go to jayinslee.com and send in a buck to make sure that this is on the stage in these debates that are coming up.
You yourself, if I may put it this way, are a blip in the polls at the moment, certainly by comparison to Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. How do you get past that? How do you get the kind of attention that you need when they come aboard? They've got all of this media behind them in the sense that they get a lot of coverage. So far, that hasn't come to you.
Well, look, I'm an underdog, and this is where I've been so many times. I was an underdog when I beat a Republican in a Republican district in 1988. I was an underdog when I beat one for Congress in 92. I was an underdog when I beat an incumbent Republican in 98, and I was a 16-point underdog when I beat a Republican attorney general. So this is not a new position for me. This is very early, and I will tell you that that the good news is that Democrats across the country have very open minds about this, and they're open to ideas. And I'm very heartened at the fact that now Democrats' polling has shown that this is the number one issue for Democrats, is defeating climate change. And this is something I've been saying now for a couple decades. And so now that the country is showing they're ready for this, this is a very winning issue, I believe, once we are able to get the message out as we are doing. So I appreciate you talking about it. I appreciate even the Onion is paying attention to my candidacy. If you want to see a little humor, go to the Onion and see one candidate transformed into a transformer fighting climate change. That'll be your humor for the day.
Be careful about referring people to the Onion. You never know when they're going to come after you. That may be a dangerous thing to do.
They were very gracious to me. My grandchildren are getting a kick out of it.
We're talking with Washington State Governor Jay Inslee about his race for the White House, and we'll get serious again in a moment on this To the Point Climate Change Update.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Warren Olney back with a To the Point Climate Change Update with Washington State Governor and presidential candidate Jay Inslee. We talked earlier about Joe Biden, who says it's not just possible but necessary to work with Republicans. As a congressman, you had a reputation for bipartisanship, but how difficult would that be if you were in the White House now?
Well, listen, we have to hope for the best, but recognize the reality. And the reality right now is we have a Republican Party that is totally committed to ignoring the climate crisis. They are totally in bed with the oil and gas industry. And that's why they would resist, I'm sure, my efforts to remove the $27 billion, which we should remove, and strip the oil and gas industry of this $27 billion subsidy they have. We know we have
to end
the filibuster.
How does that work? People talk about that, and it goes whipping past, but nobody ever goes into detail. What are these subsidies? Where is that $27 billion?
There are literally dozens littered throughout our tax code implied subsidies for oil, gas, and coal extraction, both in the tax code and into our leasing on public lands. And taxpayers are getting ripped off by this industry that has no reason in this green earth to, at this time, being digging into the pockets of taxpayers. Now, part of that subsidy, and that doesn't even count the subsidy that they currently are allowed to put their pollution into our atmosphere for free in unlimited amounts, which in a sense is a subsidy as well. So that needs to end. But to do that, we have to get rid of the filibuster. And I was the first candidate who was willing to stand up and say the filibuster has to go. We cannot allow Mitch McConnell to weaponize this antebellum artifact of a bygone age to stop our ability to fight the climate crisis. And I was the first candidate to say that. And I think what is happening here, which is, you know, a good thing, other candidates are now starting to fall in and follow my leadership on this. That's a good thing. But I've always thought if you want somebody to be a warrior, get the first one and the most experienced one and the most dedicated one. And I believe by a long shot, I fit that bill.
Closer to home, Jeff Bezos is a pretty important guy in the state of Washington. What about the his effort of his employees petitioning him not to do business with the oil and gas industry? Is it possible for him to do that, number one? Number two, do you support their effort?
Well, I think that all of us have opportunities to be leaders on this. We can all be heroes in this effort, as consumers, as business people, as commuters, as parents, as governors and presidents. We all have a role in this. And yes, I think that leadership and business can play a role to really drive the industry to cleaner, more sustainable ways. We have another company in our area, Microsoft, for instance, that has in their supply chain, they have what they call an implied price of carbon pollution. So when they price products, they put in a price of the carbon pollution when they're looking at two different products to buy. So they end up driving them to get the cleaner product. You know, I encourage every business to do that. And we have to use the government in consortium to do that. So, yes, I encourage leaders to move forward to that.
Given the power of business, particularly in Congress, is it possible to do the kinds of things you're talking about if industry doesn't cooperate, doesn't go along? You can't force it, can you?
Oh, yes, of course we have to. We have to. Look at the survival of our, literally, of our species to some degree is at risk, ultimately. Our grandchildren's health is at risk. Look, if you're putting our grandchildren up against a CEO's compensation package, our grandkids are going to win that battle, and we are going to win this battle because there's no other option for victory, because without victory, there's no survival. And we have won for years. Look, I remember in the 70s, I was at the University of Washington and doing some research on energy issues. You could not see Mount Rainier from Seattle, Washington, because of all the pollution from our tailpipes. And we forced the auto industry to develop new technology to clean up the air. And they did. They invented the catalytic converter. And until the last couple of summers, you could now see Mount Rainier. But the problem now is we couldn't see it in the last two summers because of all the forest fires that are going to get much more pronounced because of climate change. We're back to that situation again. So we saved the vision of Mount Rainier once, and we can do it again, and we have to because there's no other option. You know, and people said, oh, this is gonna cost too much. How are you going to pay for it? Well, I asked the climate deniers, how are you going to pay for Paradise, California? How are you going to pay for the utilities that are going bankrupt? How are you going to pay the farmers in the Midwest whose lands are now underwater because of the massive floods? This is going to save us money over the long term. It is an economically productive thing. And most importantly, it involves environmental justice. We need to build in environmental justice. And I'm proud of what we've done in Washington because we've driven efforts to make sure people have the right to have unions, to make sure they have prevailing wage, and make sure that we help low-income people with their utility bills. So this is, we've built in environmental justice to help marginalized communities and communities of color into our program. We need to do that nationally as well.
You're a former congressman, so is Beto O'Rourke. He has now gotten a lot of attention for a $5 trillion proposal for clean energy infrastructure. Is he one-upping you?
No, like I said, I'm happy if others are following my leadership.
You say he's following you rather than leading him.
Well, if you look at our records in Congress, and I'll just look, I'm not going to go too deeply on this, but I spent years and decades in Congress advancing climate policy. You'll find my name on virtually everything. Well, that's an overstatement. Many, many of the climate policies. I wrote a book about it. My record is very, very strong on this. People have to draw their conclusions about others, whether they did or did not lift a finger in Congress while they're in Congress. But I'm glad now that people have, perhaps they've, read the polling, but didn't take polling for me to know, you know, a decade and a half that we need to fight climate crisis.
Why do you think the Republicans have virtually backed away from the whole idea of dealing with climate change? It's not just the president. It's other members of his party, particularly those controlling the Senate. You mentioned Mitch McConnell.
Well, it's a disappointment. I think the Republican
Party... Yeah, but why? Why are they doing it?
Well, it is my belief because they are fearful and they're not determined and optimistic, as my party is, that we believe we can build a clean energy economy. They're afraid that we just don't have the chops to do it. And I think they're fundamentally wrong.
But has your party really done? Does it have a record? After all, President Trump's only been in office for a couple of years. The problem has been building for much, much longer than that. Haven't Democrats been just as guilty as Republicans in failing to cope with these issues because they are so desperately complicated and involve everybody's lifestyle, really?
Not in my state. Under my leadership, we now have the best 100% bill in the United States. We have the strongest environmental justice part of that. We have the best energy efficiency programs in the state. We now have approaching 50,000 electric cars in my state. We are leading. And now my plan, you asked me to compare my plan to one other candidate. I'm the only candidate who said we need to phase out coal by 2030 nationally. We're doing it here by 2025, which is the fastest in the nation. I'm the only candidate that has a multi-sectoral approach, which will have 100% clean electricity, that is mine and mine alone, 100% clean cars beginning in 2031, and going to a 100% building code standard for commercial buildings. So we have a very proud record in my state, but we need national leadership. We have science. We have data. We have successful economic growth and jobs. We're the fastest growing job in America is solar installer. Now what we lack is presidential leadership. And we see what that did when I was a little younger and Kennedy said we should go to the moon. We see what we did when we were rallied to beat fascism. Now we need that spark of inspiration of somebody who believes in the American people. And I have a fundamental belief. That's why I wrote a book about it in 2007,
okay,
saying we are capable of beating climate crisis.
Very quickly, again, to the record of Democrats, under the Obama administration, fracking was decided to be a huge driver of jobs and energy. It was very important in the aftermath of the 2008 recession. You now want to ban fracking. What about the idea of energy independence? That's pretty appealing to a lot of people, including, of course, the current president.
Well, I think there's two things. Science changes and technology changes. And when those things happen, we've got to adjust our policies. And what has happened in the last several years is that the science of the climate crisis has indicated we have a lot less time than we thought to tame this beast. And if you saw the IPCC report, if you saw the UNN science report on extinction, it makes it clear that we have to put pedal to the metal here. We just don't have as much time as we thought we did 5 or 6 years ago. Number two, technologies are coming on so much faster. Look, renewable energy, true renewable energy produced more than coal for the first time, I think, in the last week or two. And renewable energy technologies, the price of them are dropping so fast that it gives us an ability to skip what you might think of a generation. So, yes, we banned fracking in my state, and it's because we understand the power of these new technologies that are coming on so rapidly. I travel this country, and it's so inspiring to me to see Americans producing these new technologies. I was in California the other day, seeing a company building an electric autonomous car, all electric from the ground up. I met a young man from high school that just won the science award from the United States from my state a couple months ago. He's built a whole new way to make an electric battery that can be substantially better. So the combination of the science of the crisis and the science of the solution are now moving so much more rapidly. We need to adjust our policies, and I'm proud to be the candidate who understands that can lead this country to a new clean energy future.
This is a climate change update from To the Point. We are talking to Governor Jay Inslee of Washington, who is the only candidate who has said that this should be the organizing principle of the office of the presidency. He is a candidate for the Democratic nomination. And, Governor, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate your attention to this. We can do good things in this country.
This To the Point climate change update was produced by Andrea Brody with audio assistance from Chris Watherspoon. Our engineers are Joel Stein and Chuck Prebateri. I'm Orman Alney. Be sure to listen to this week's To the Point on the separation of powers, Congress versus the White House. Are we in a constitutional crisis? And when you listen, make sure to give us a review. Also, give us a shout out on Facebook or on Twitter. We're at tothepoint_KCRW. You can reach me directly at warren.alney@kcrw.org. Look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.